This program is sponsored by Dave Stahl.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Doc Tales and More Radio. That's right, Spike. Sorry, everyone. I hope you don't mind. I brought my dog Spike to help with the intro. Doc Tales and More Radio is your spot for any tips and tricks for your pets. From dogs, cats... Yes, Spike, even those kind of pets as well. So, if you're ready for some great information and some fun with your pets, then stay tuned into Doc Tales and More Radio. No, Spike, I haven't forgotten who hosts the show. Here's your host, Dave Stahl.
All right, Dog Tales and More Radio, FM 96.1 AM 1170, The Answer. Boy, we got a great show packed for you. Yep. The wife, Michelle, is at a dog show. Go figure. This show is brought to you by Del Sur Kennel Club. This kennel club is an amazing club. It's been around for quite some time. And they are your one-stop shop for AKC, government relations, canine legislation, National Animal Interest Alliance for California canine legislation, the Animal Council, six San Diego legislation resources, and Fiesta Island dog owners. We've got special guest Jolia. Who's Jolia? We don't have... Oh, wait. Jolia's going to call in, right? Yeah. Hopefully, if everything goes well. Then we have Margaret, which is sitting right across from me. And Suzanette. I like that name. Yeah. That's interesting. And then Guy Fisher. I don't know. Is he on the line yet? He's the AKC guy. Oh, good. So, Jolia, are you on the line?
Hi, yes, this is Joella.
Oh, Joella, okay, very good. Boy, thank you very much for calling in. So, we're going to talk a little bit about the Del Sur Kennel Club. Who's been with the club the longest out of the two of you, three of you?
I would say Joella.
All right. Really? Oh, gosh.
We're not going to say numbers. We're just so yeah. So kind of give us a little rundown for somebody out there, because a lot of people are listening to the show that, believe it or not, are first-time dog owners, mainly because of COVID. Because when COVID hit, a lot of people were cooped up. They didn't know where to go. They didn't know what to do. So the first thing they did is they ran out and they bought a dog. Now, they maybe shouldn't have bought a dog, because they usually don't do the homework that you should do before you buy a dog. And looking at the Del Sur Kennel Club, that's a great one-stop shop for somebody that's thinking about getting a dog. So what is kind of the goal of the Del Sur Kennel Club?
Are you talking to me or to Margaret?
I'm going to talk to you first. I'll talk to Margaret.
All right. Basically, well, our main goal as a nonprofit is to be able to help for donations and help get information out and get people started in dog showing, dog performance events. We've been around for a while. We do our annual, well, now it's 3-day dog show and rally and obedience trial. And with that, we have an opportunity to donate to causes. I mean, we've had, you know, fires and flood and famine and locusts and everything else going on and around the country, and, you know, a lot in, of course, California. There always seems to be a wildfire somewhere. And we have the ability to, with a trailer, a rescue trailer, through the animal control, they send out these trailers, these disaster trailers, out to these areas that, you know, people can come to get information, to get help, assistance with the dogs and the cats and whatever's out there. So, you know, there's the Red Cross or FEMA or whatever for people, but, you know, animals need that that help as well. So that is one of the things we do, is we have that. We donate to all these wonderful causes. We try to get information out to people about what's going on with dog legislation and government relations and that sort of thing. So, you know, it's it's a dog club.
Right, and I think it's extremely important because a lot of people just don't know where to go. And there's a lot of dog clubs out there. Now, so Margaret, let me ask you this. The Del Sur Kennel Club, that's all breeds, correct?
Yes, it is. It's an all-breed club.
So if you have, you know, maybe you're thinking about buying a tweenie, you know, which is part Chihuahua, part Dachshund, you know, they could come to your website, or you could actually make a phone call. Or actually, I always tell people, go to the dog show.
Well, what's really cool right now is the AKC has two programs. One is called a PAL program, and the other is a companion program. And a PAL program, if you have a purebred dog, but it's not a registered dog, but it's obviously a purebred, you can go to AKC and get a PAL number.
Oh, really?
You can show that dog. You can train that dog in performance events. And even junior showmanship, we really, and Sue Annette will talk about that.
Okay.
But junior showmanship is a great program. And they now, AKC, will allow you to show a mixed breed in junior showmanship.
No, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Well, the other thing, I was looking at the AKC website, and, you know, if let's say you want to get a dog. You know, what's the first thing they go for? The cutest dog. And, you know, and that's how they go. Well, that may not work if you live in an apartment. You know, you don't want to get a dog that's, you know, that's really rambunctious and needs tons and tons and tons of work. And I got a friend of mine who just had hip surgery, and his wife just bought him, for having hip surgery, two, I can't think of the name of it, but they're cattle dogs.
Australian cattle dogs?
Yeah. Puppies. Two of them.
High energy.
And I got five texts. He says, will you please come get these puppies? And I go, no, you're going to learn to live with these two guys. They're the cutest things on the planet. He says, I don't know what to do with them. They're tearing up the carpet. They're tearing up the property. They're tearing up my furniture. You should have done your homework, my friend. And I don't want to be mean, but do your homework, right?
So many people don't know what to do.
I mean,
they're attracted to a cute puppy or whatever, and they bring it home, and then now what do I do? It's got to be trained. It's got to be fed. It should be crate trained. That's very
important. Oh, I can't put it in a crate. That's mean. That's mean. Yeah, well, leave it out. You'll wish you had.
Well, dogs are den animals by nature. They love them. My dogs, they stand out there at night, and they look in the window and say, what's your problem? Yeah. Aren't you going to put me to bed?
Well, at least your dogs are nicer than mine. Mine beat the you-know-what out of the screen door and the window. Let me in. And the minute you open up the door, they go right in. You don't even have to latch them because you're right. They're den animals. But people, let me tell you, folks, animals are not stupid. I will tell you right now. They can outsmart you. Especially some dogs, they can unlock doors, they can unlock latches. I mean, you've got to be, but you got, it's part of the family. And a dog will never get mad at you as long as you don't get mad at it.
That's right.
You know, it will love you no matter what. All you need to do is feed it, clean up after it, and let it lay up on the couch. A cute story, we have a dachshund that we got from New York. We got it for breeding. And it had seven little gorgeous little dachshund puppies, little chocolates and black and tans and all that. But before she became pregnant, the first day she comes home, runs up on the couch, jumps up, lays on my chest upside down, starts licking my neck and licking my neck. I looked at Michelle and I go, so what are we going to do with this dog when we're done breeding it? Well, I'm probably going to have to find it at home. How are you going to find it at home? Look what this dog is doing. You think I'm going to let this dog go? But I go in to feed the puppies. You know, help put the She says, you just leave the room. I'll take care of it. She won't let me anywhere near her puppies. And that's the first time in 25 years. I don't know if it's because of the bloodline or what. But, hey, let's take a quick break. You guys hang in there. We're going to come right back. This is Dog Tales and More Radio, FM 96.1 AM 1170. The Answer. Hey, folks. All right, folks. Welcome back to Dog Tales Radio, right here on FM 96.1 AM 1170. We got a great group in here. Joella Cunnington is on the phone. We'll talk to her in a moment. Margaret Williamson and Sunette. Where's that name come from? Is that just an old name?
No, my parents actually just put Sue and Annette together.
Probably Annette Funicello, and who knows? So let's talk a little bit about getting kids involved, because we've already got a little boy right now, Josiah. He's now become a junior handler, and it's only because he was hanging out with his grandmother. I mean, she was supposed to help us with dogs, but she ends up buying a Ford van, and she goes clear across the United States all over the place, and she's dragging Josiah with her. And I think he's eight, nine years old. How young can you become a junior handler?
Well, we start with peewees, which is 5 and under 9 years old.
Really?
And that is where the children go into the ring with their dog and their parent or guardian, and the dog is attached to both the child and the parent,
okay,
just for safety.
I could just see.
And they practice, and there is no competition, but they get the accolades.
Sure.
There's clapping. There's good trophies.
Oh,
there's
yeah.
fun and games. And then when they become 9 years old, they go into what's called the novice junior class, and they compete. And if they're a little bit older, then say 12 years to 15, they go into intermediate, and 15 and under 18, they go into the next class of novice. And they do the same thing with the open, which means you have won 3 first places with competition in the novice to get in to the open class.
Hmm. So if somebody had a son or daughter who's just madly in love with their dog, this would be a great opportunity to go to the Del Sur Kennel Club and look into it, because I think there was on your website, there's a whole section on that alone.
Yes, Pee-wees will be on Saturday of this set, 3 sets of dog shows.
Mm-hmm.
And and it doesn't have to be pre-entered or anything.
Oh, okay. Just show up with your dog.
Show up and fill out the paperwork that mm-hmm. needs to be done.
Right.
For liability and such.
Sure.
And have your dog and your child and you go into the ring, and it is so much fun.
I bet. Do you guys do any training to help people? You know, like if you're coming a little peewee kid, you know, teach about how the whole bait and have a little packet for your. I mean, do you actually have classes for this?
I don't know that there is any classes at this time, but people will help you.
Sure.
There is no problem with that.
Right.
Everybody loves to talk about their breed, and so you get together with someone there at the dog show and people will come out and help a child.
Right, especially if the child brings a dog.
Of course.
And that breed is there. Then let's just say, we'll say a Cocker Spaniel, just for an example.
Mm-hmm.
Well, all the Cocker Spaniel people are going to come running over there and do whatever they can to help that child, you know, do better in it. And just in case nobody knows, if you decide to stick with this showing dogs, they can make a really, really good living.
Yes.
Don't let anybody kid you, folks. They can make a really good living. Now, when you win, by the way, you guys need any ribbons? I mean, I've got like 4,687,000 ribbons. I've never seen so many ribbons in my life. But I mean, you can actually make a living at this, even if it's just part time.
Yes, of course you can. A lot of the junior handlers go from the junior ring after they're 18 or even before in helping out professional handlers. And they go on to either becoming a professional handler, a dog groomer, owning a boarding kennel. And
yeah.
I did all 3 of those things. I was a junior myself back in the late 60s, early 70s. And my son was a junior.
Really? What breed?
He showed Scotties and Pugs and Corgis. I showed my Scotty. That's what I had.
My grandmother had a Scotty. I'll never forget it. All right. Well, but like I said, the best thing is go to these shows.
Oh, yeah.
Intermingle.
The most important thing is that, you know, if your child has a love for dogs, this is a way to show them what they can do. And you don't have to have a purebred dog to do this.
Right.
To show in peewee or juniors. And you were talking about sub peewee or
itty-bitty, which is something that we don't always do, but is where a child who is 3 to under 5 years old comes in with their stuffed animal.
Oh.
And there is no judging or anything. It's just to get them in. A child in junior showmanship learns to get out in front of the crowd.
Right.
And appreciate the applause. They learn to dress well because in juniors, the young men wear suits and ties, and the girls all wear dresses and suits. Their interest is talking about their dog, the latest thing they've learnt, and the newest dress or suit they just got.
Well, and it motivates them. I'm sure once they go to their first show, now they're motivated. Mm-hmm. So they'll start training their little dog and teaching it new tricks. Jolia, have you ever gotten into the training aspect of it? Since you're not here, we can't see you.
No, I was I call myself a semi-retired professional dog trainer.
Ah.
Obedience and rally. Puppies, like to start them young. You like to start the kids young, you want to start the puppies young for the same reasons, teach them manners. If you have a well-trained dog, they can go anywhere, they can do anything. I unfortunately don't have him anymore, but an Australian Shepherd, when I was teaching my training classes, if there was a little kid in there that just absolutely wanted to hold on to a leash and do all of these fun things that you could do with your dog, I gave them Duncan, and they could do anything with him, and he would heal perfectly for them, and he was just a naturally wonderful dog. And, you know, they get excited about that kind of thing. So starting in that is a wonderful way. It teaches them, again, responsibility. They learn how to groom their dogs and take care of them, pick up poop, all of those wonderful things that happen. It's training's for everyone.
And don't you love
for every person.
And don't you love it when you get a phone call that says, I've got a year and a half old dog and I can't break it from doing something or other?
Oh, yeah.
What are you calling me for?
I like to start him young, but we take care of that. A very good trainer, and they're out there. A positive reinforcement trainer can really help you and your dog through whatever issue that you have. If they can't, they'll say so, and they'll put you on to a behaviorist, a properly qualified behaviorist. And they can help. It's rare indeed when a problem with a dog cannot be
be corrected. Well, you got to devote the time. And it's, I tell everybody, a dog is no different than a child. The only difference is the child eventually can talk to you, and a dog can't. But the dog can really communicate with you if you watch and listen and look at its facial. If it wants to go outdoors because it has to go to the bathroom, if it's sitting by the, sliding glass door, that's a good sign that you might want to, you may want to take care of it. But, and one of the reasons I put this show together is because breeders really get a bad rap. You know, a lot of people.
Oh, yeah.
Somebody asked me the other day, you're doing a dog show, yeah? Oh, is it all rescue? I go, no, it's not rescue. It's AKC. It's breeders. It's bloodlines. It's people working to keep that breed alive and well. And they go, I go, no, don't even start with me. I mean, I have nothing against rescue. I have nothing, because unfortunately, we, the public, that's our problem. You know, I mean, we would just, you know, people would throw any dogs together. You have all these crazy puppies, but even sometimes they turn out extremely well.
Well, you don't know what you're getting when you throw two dogs together, so to speak.
Well, my wife likes to say, you can pay me now for a registered puppy, or you can pay the vet later.
That's right.
If you get it out of a cardboard box.
That's right.
And son of a gun, if it, you know, we, you all have run into it.
Absolutely.
People that, you know, bought your puppies. Because when you buy or sell a puppy, it's part of the family.
Of course.
We have puppy parties. We get all of them. Yep. I can't believe they all know each other.
Well, you know, it's just like this last week. I sent away for a DNA test on on a potential male that I'm thinking about breeding.
Oh, okay.
And they have genetic markers now with DNA testing for inheritable disease on dogs.
Uh-huh.
And it's amazing what medical science has done now.
Yeah.
And you know, we breeders take all that into consideration,
right.
All of it. We x-ray hips, yep. Elbows.
Hearts, eyes.
Yes, all of it.
Michelle drives all the way, I think, Santa Barbara.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, this lady that does it up there, I mean, but she drives all the way there because she loves what the way this woman does her examinations and, you know, looks at the hips and the cruciates and all that, because she gets these reports back. And, you know, that's another bonus to
and
when
then,
you're selling a dog.
Yeah, and then you take that, you look at your pedigree, and you look at the how it would come together. And you usually try to stay with dogs that have been tested.
Mm-hmm.
And your breeding stock has to be healthy. It just has to be
okay,
healthy.
So I'm going to ask you a question. So I want to make sure my wife's telling me the truth. We're going to have to keep this female because it's a different bloodline instead of what we've got. And I want to bring in another bloodline. I go, so that's why we're keeping another puppy?
Yep.
That's why we're keeping another puppy?
We do have to breed out an outcross, as we would call it, to diversify.
Right.
We do like to breed into our own line, and we're very careful
about
it.
Well, that's exactly it. So that's why I said we got this many dogs for... But we don't sell any of them. See, she's as bad as me in cars, but that's another story. But I you know, there's nothing better than a responsible breeder, and
that's right. And the public doesn't understand.
No,
that.
They don't.
They don't know what it takes to do this. The cost is
horrendous. Astronomical.
Yes.
Just because you have your hand full of a bunch of money does not mean that you're getting my puppy.
Exactly.
You have to be qualified.
Right.
You have to be good enough. And I really haven't made a mistake in all of the years I've been breeding. Knock on wood. And if an animal needs to come back to me for some
That's in
reason,
our contract.
Right.
It comes back to me.
Right. I will take them back because I care.
We had a dachshund, sold it to this gentleman, and he calls up. He won't stop barking. He won't stop barking. And I mean, you could hear him in the background.
He got a dachshund, thought it would stop barking.
Yeah, I know. Well, go figure, huh? But we've had that dog, and the dog doesn't bark. Alexa wants to go in and out. Anyway, let's take a quick break. You're listening to Dog Tales and More Radio, brought to you by the Del Sur Kennel Club. Go to the website, find out their latest upcoming dog show. That's Del Sur KC.com. There's one right around the corner, right here in San Diego, and you will love it. Right here on Dog Tales Radio, FM 96.1 AM 1170, The Answer. All right, folks, welcome back. Dog Tales Radio and More, or Dog Tales and More Radio, FM 96.1 AM 1170, The Answer. We got Julia on the line, as well as Margaret in the house. And we got Suzanette, who is also in the house with us. And we're talking Hey, Guy hasn't called in, has he? Okay, good. Guy was going to call in from AKC, but we'll catch him on another return. And we were all sort of talking, and Julie, I don't know if you caught wind of it, probably not, but Margaret came up with a really good idea and the pros and cons of free feeding. In other words, you put a 10-pound bag of dog food in a bowl and then you just leave them for the day. What was your comments on that?
You need to know the quantity of food you're feeding your dog because you need to keep an eye on its weight. Free feeding, you know, a lot of times a dog will develop an attitude like, oh, I don't want it or whatever. You don't know what they're getting. For my dogs, I measure it out. I'll give them a kibble base, and then there's a freeze-dried supplement that they get. It's full of
vegetables.
I also do bone broth, and I cook it myself.
Right. Well, all the years I've been married to my wife, there is no way we could free feed a Rottweiler or a Dachshund.
You wouldn't want to. You couldn't afford it.
No, they'd eat the whole bag until they pop. So, no, you know. So
exactly.
But I do know people. You're absolutely right. I know people that they'll put food out all day long, and the dogs will just, you know, nibble away. Not my dog.
And if it's outside, the flies are getting into it and whatever.
Yeah, we don't feed outside. Yeah. We always feed inside.
Mine are fed at a specific time.
Yep,
and they
so
know,
are we.
Boy, their clocks are running.
Mine is 10, rotate at 10, feed at 12, rotate at 10. And if I deviate, they usually make me suffer.
We feed twice a day. And at 4 o'clock in the afternoon, if we are not up to feed, there are many faces staring. They have a little clock.
Yes, they do.
Yes.
And there is no ifs, ands, or you know what about it. But you know what? That's what they're used to.
And it depends on your breed. Mine's a Nordic breed, Norwegian Elkhound. And so they have a lower metabolism rate. I feed them once a day.
That's a big dog.
When they're growing, I feed them twice a day. Right.
But that's just it. You've got to, and the main thing is, I love it. Somebody will bring one of the puppies back, you know, for a puppy party or trim the nails, because that's another issue. You know, most people that get puppies can't trim their nails because the puppies will scream their heads off. And she'll go, you need to knock about 3/4 of a pound off that dog. And I'd look at her. I said, 3/4 of a pound? Well, you know, it's just, you know, just catch it now. Let's not let it get out of hand.
In other words, it was becoming a sausage?
Yeah, it was becoming, and the little legs get so short and the belly drags in the dirt.
Well, thing is, when you look down on a dog, you want to see almost like an hourglass figure.
Yes.
They're wide in the shoulder, then it tapers past the ribs to the loin, and then it comes out at the hips.
That's right.
And when my dogs are looking like straight without any tapering, I know,
So you look at the husband and said, have you been giving him snacks?
Exactly.
Well, that's hard on the hips and the spine.
Yeah.
It's just hard on everything if they're too fat. But you don't want them too skinny either.
No. So, Jolia, what is your attitude on feeding? Since you're the trainer.
I was going to say, from a training perspective, if your dog has access to food all day long, what do they need you for? Why do they need to sit? Why do they need to lie down? Why do they need to come to you? They're getting fed. You know, why would they need you? So I always started out with, in puppy classes, that you don't have to have a set schedule. In fact, I vary the schedule because my dogs go and do things, and they may not, you know, they're out with their dog handler at a dog show, or they're at a trial, or they're at set work or anything else. They're not going to get fed at a specific time, although they, you know,
they would like to
around 5, but if you know, when you feed your dog, you also have to take into consideration, especially when you're training it, the treats that they're getting. And I'll tell you, when I was training my dogs, who are well trained, I would use their food as a reward for training. When I wanted something that was difficult, it would be a high value reward, and it would not necessarily be their food that I feed them every day.
Mm-hmm.
And my dogs get fed in crates. They get fed in crates.
Right. Same here.
Fed in crates. Because, you know, if you want to crate train your dog, you want them to be comfortable being in their crates, they need to have the fun, positive stuff that happens when they're in crates.
Right.
Exactly.
Ooh, crates, yeah. So, you know, there's a lot of different attitudes about it. But when you have a working dog, you know, they're going to get fed. I change the amount nearly every day, depending on what my dogs did that day. I have, you know, Australian Shepherds. I have one who's like the laziest dog in all of the planet, but, you know, I love him anyway. But my other one is very, very bouncy and very active. And so, you know, if she's having a particularly active day, like today, she gets fed more. If she's going to have a lazy day, like, you know, DJ here, who's sound asleep in the office with me, he gets fed less. I do the supplement, anything that I supplement in their food, you know, that's not consequent or anything else, fruits and vegetables. I need to fill him up. Mm-hmm. So I fill him up with green beans or blueberries or strawberries.
Right.
So, yeah, you know, when you're in the process of training your dog, hopefully you're with somebody who's knowledgeable and can help you with all of that.
And you should also find out what you should not feed your dogs, because there are there's certain things, you know, people don't even know, like they're eating a chocolate bar or something and so that's part of owning the dog. You got to find out what you can feed it, what you can't. In my world, I try not to get emotionally involved in our dogs, because it just tears me up when they pass on. So I'm the cookie monster. So my wife will call me up, honey, I can't get him to come in the garage. Oh, okay. So all I got to do is walk to the door. And they look and they go, oh, the cookie guy. And they not only come in, they get in their crates and they turn around and they just wait for me. So that's kind of a bonus on my side. I do have a dachshund right now, standard, that's adopted me. So I don't know what I'm going to do, but that's another story. But, you know, that's you're right. And I think everyone at this table will agree, no two dogs are alike. You have to adjust accordingly. But training is so important. You got to have training, because you have to be the alpha.
Well, I don't necessarily prescribe to alpha status, but it's all about respect. And, you know, is your dog... First of all, does your dog have any particular respect for you at all?
Right.
But also, you're the be-all and... Yeah, I want to be the be-all and end-all. I'm not necessarily alpha over my dogs. I am, however, their safety and the person that they listen to, because their very existence depends on me. So I start dogs training. My puppies have all started socializing classes, puppy classes. Puppy kindergarten is what I called mine. I get them at 8 weeks, and I start them in classes at 9 weeks after I've done a fecal test to make sure they don't have, you know, Giardia or coccidia.
Right.
Which, by the way, is no reflection on the breeders, because in one case, DJ, I was part of the breeding process. Mm-hmm. It was my male. So it has, you know, puppies just do disgusting things when they're playing with each other. So you want to make sure that, you know, they don't have that before you can start a class, and that they're, you know, and I don't, and veterinarians are going to smack me around, but I do not prescribe to this idea of you have to wait till they've had all their shots. You don't want to go to dog parks if your dog is not fully vaccinated. My feeling is don't go to dog parks at all. But
I agree.
That's from a training perspective.
I agree.
But you go to a properly run puppy class with a qualified trainer, and you're gonna be so glad that you did.
Yeah. No, without
their little sponges, they soak up everything.
Yeah.
Just like little kids.
I totally agree. My wife socializes our puppies, and she goes to the bank. She goes in cahoots. She goes to Tractor Supply, and she just lets all the employees just maul them to death. Just maul them to death.
Who doesn't want to pet a puppy?
Yeah, who doesn't want to pet a puppy? Come on. We had a lady, unfortunately, had lost her dog. She came to our house, and maybe you as a trainer, you guys might have ever heard of this. I had never heard of it. She came to the house. I opened the door, and I actually started laughing, which I shouldn't have done because she was grieving for losing her dog. But she was dressed in white pants, a white blouse, and she was a Mary Kay consultant. Okay? So this girl was right out of the GQ magazine for girls. And I'm saying, I apologize. So we brought her in. We took her in the north and let all the female Rotties come out. And she was sitting in a chair, and they knew something was going on. And they went to her, and they were hugging on her and kissing on her. And she was crying. They were crying. And then for the heck of it, we took her to the south, put her out with the boys. Same thing. And I have you ever heard of dogs doing that when they know somebody is just grieving?
They know.
They're very intuitive.
Oh, yeah.
Very intuitive.
I'm getting goosebumps talking about it.
Oh, mine, yeah. Mine can sense when I'm off.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Oh, my gosh. You know, my boy in particular, he's more of the house dog, and he'll follow me all around, like, are you all right? Are
you all right? And by the way, you should have seen this lady when she left.
Oh, yeah.
She was a mess. Her hair was every which way. All her makeup was gone. She had more paw prints. You know, you'd think
she was probably the happiest she'd been in a long time.
Yeah, and I told her, I tell people this all the time, don't go through the grieving. Get another puppy.
Absolutely.
Fill that pain with another puppy. Name it the same.
Puppy. I can't imagine anything worse than coming home to my house at night and there's no dogs.
No.
I mean,
and again, maybe each individual person is different than the next. I get all that, but there's nothing more painful than losing an animal. It's just like losing a child, if you ask me.
I'll tell you what, it doesn't get any better when you get older.
No,
it doesn't.
I take it so much harder than
I try not to get overly... All right, let's take our last break. This is Dog Tales and More, FM 96.1 AM 1170, The Answer. All right, folks, welcome back to Dog Tales and More Radio, FM 96.1 AM 1170, The Answer. Show's brought to you by the Del Sur Kennel Club. If you want to get more information, go to www.delsurkc.com. You can find out about upcoming shows. You can find out about dog ownership. They've got tips. They've got just got a great calendar of events, which we highly recommend you go to the shows. Doesn't cost to go, by the way. There's no admission to these dog shows. You can go find maybe your dog's breed out there, and the people there will talk to you. They may hand you a brush, or they may hand you a towel, so be careful when you get too close to the dogs, because everybody's looking for help. They're all super friendly. We've talked about getting your kids involved, which, you know, you really want to talk about, you know, because kids are the ones that say, Mom, I want a dog. Mom, I want a dog. And then they get the dog, and then they don't want the dog anymore. This way you can get the kid involved in the dog, make it happy, and make it more involved. So go to Dels, that's DELSURKC.com. That's where you can get all the great information. Now, you had a topic just before.
Yes, not only do we do confirmation, being we are judged on the quality of the animal, but and there's performance events, obedience. There's also scent work where the dog goes and finds different scents. There's earth dog where the dog goes down, a terrier, a dachshund will go down into a hole. It was created so they would hunt badgers
and such.
But this is to look at a rat that is not going to be hurt. And then there is a barn hunt where they find the rat in a bunch of hay. There are many performance events, including Fast Cat, where dogs are running quickly.
Yeah, what's that one where they run through the, jump over the hoops, they run through the...
Agility, of course. You're right.
And you know, that's so much fun to watch on TV. I mean, because some of these guys, boy, these little guys are going 100 mile an hour.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
And especially those one of those sticks where they go through.
Yes.
I don't know how they do that. It hurts my back just watching it. Yeah. So it's an open book. And once people go to these shows and see what's available, I mean, it's a great weekend.
Oh, yeah.
And good exercise, too.
Yeah, there's a couple of shows coming up. One is on Mother's Day weekend, and it's going to be at the brand new Equestrian Center in Lakeside.
That's awesome. That's right there off of 67.
Place. Yeah.
Turn, if you're going north, turn
Little
right
road, yeah.
at the Union 76 station, and then the very first left you can miss. Well, you can't miss it. If you get on that road, you can't miss it. I think it's huge.
Yeah. The other one is Bahia Sur Kennel Club. They're going to have a three-show weekend. It's Father's Day weekend, and it's going to be at Bates Nut Farm in Valley Center.
Right.
It's a great place to go and see the farm itself. They've got a really cute little country store there.
Yep.
And we're going to have our show there. If anybody wants any information on that, they can send an email to Bahia Sur. That's BahiaSurKC@gmail.com.
Okay. Is that not on your calendar of events? Is that on your calendar that's on the website, your website?
No.
No. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. But you can always reach out to anybody at the Del Sur.
We have a Facebook page, not a website.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. And what's
all that'll be going on?
Bahia Sur has a Facebook page. We have info at delsurkc.com.
Okay.
And most of that, those requests for information actually do come to me. So.
Oh.
I'm happy to help
She's
anybody
el presidente.
Out.
Oh, is this the presidente?
Yeah.
And I was talking to the president. My gosh.
I laugh a lot about that.
So how long you been into dogs without giving us a number?
I've always been a cat person. I got my first dog in 1979. I will not tell you how old I was.
No.
Because somebody will do the math. Thank you. but, it was a mixed breed. And then after that, my late husband was into German short hair pointers. And as much as I love my Australian shepherds, German short hair pointers are my heart dog. And I had just a blast with them. And we did service dog work, visiting care centers and whatnot. So
I got a cute story. I wish I would have known you back. I was married before. My ex-father-in-law was a hunter, and I hated hunting. I hated it. I don't like shooting anything. And we bought him a black lab puppy that he trained it for pheasant hunting. Okay.
Yeah.
So this dog would not go in a ditch. I don't care. You could throw a half a pound of ham down there. He ain't going. I ended up having to go down in the ditch. And I swear to God, that dog would laugh at me. Because I'm in the ditch through the tulies, and he's up on the berm just grinning from ear to ear. I needed you, and I've never forgotten that as long as I live. But I'm really glad I had you on because training, I can't tell people enough. You know, you got to do your research on a breed, and then you got to train. Because the more you train, the better the dog will be. And if I ever see, I'm terrible, especially at Alpine. If it's over, 80, 90 degrees and somebody's walking their dog in the sun, I will roll the window down and scream at them. But that's just my pet peeve.
I have been known to give the face.
The face. That's the word. I bet that's
I waggle my, witchy poo finger at them, but yeah.
Yeah. And we won't mention which one, but that's another story.
That's their social finger.
Yeah, the social finger. I like that. That's what I want to remember that as, a social finger. Well, all I can say is, and that's what I love about this show, we're going to have different clubs on. We're going to eventually talk about different breeds of dogs because there's a breed out there for everybody. If you don't believe it, watch Westminster. And they're constantly bringing different breeds into the fold. Like our Rotties are all, our tails are cropped, and some people think that's terrible. Well, I got too many collectibles to have a dog with a tail. That's why I don't have a cat. My wife says, you see all those antique radios you have? That cat's going to be up there. And I went, oh, yeah, you're right. I forgot.
There's actually breeds of cats that you can get that don't climb very well. So I have two of them. I have ragdolls.
Really? I need one of those. Have you ever seen those hairless cats?
Yes.
Ew.
I saw one just the other day.
You what?
I saw one just the other day. I thought it was a chihuahua.
But aren't they kind of freaky looking?
Yeah.
I wouldn't want to hug him, but that's another story.
Again, there's something for everybody out there. There's hairless dogs, and if you're allergic, there you go. Yeah.
I know.
Happy to talk cats and dogs, so yeah.
I know. All right. So, Susanette, any last words before we go? We got about 3 minutes.
No, and there is a breed certainly for everyone. Yeah. Yeah. And certainly if you're a hiker, don't get yourself a pug.
Oh, no.
You know,
no.
And I love my pugs. And if you're a person who sits around all the time, then don't get yourself a high energy dog.
Yeah, because they will punish you. You know, because when they want, oh, that's the other thing, too. I tell people, don't constantly stand out in the backyard and throw a ball. You know, especially if the dogs have a propensity to have a hip displeasure or something like that, because you're just asking for trouble. You know, let them do their exercise. Let them do their running. I don't go to dog parks at all. To me, that's just, there's just too much opportunities for a problem. Food is another issue that, you know, we kind of talked about it. I'm starting to see more and more people cook for their dogs because we still, I mean, I don't know about any of you at the table, but there's got to be something that's causing all this cancer in dogs. There's got to be. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if it's the food. I don't know what it is. Do you guys have even the slightest idea?
Probably they're better food.
Yeah. There's better research. They're finding them now.
Yeah, finally.
Yeah.
Because there's nothing worse.
Yeah, and they're finding ways to deal with it. I've had that happen.
I know. It's amazing.
And everything else. I mean, it's just like with humans, but they're doing a better job of testing.
Yeah, and I think they should continue to do so. All right, so Del Sur's next dog show is?
Mother's Day weekend.
And it's at the Equine Center, the Diane Jacobs Equine Center.
Yeah.
Which is right there.
Lakeside.
Yeah, in Lakeside. It doesn't cost anything to go. Just put some good walking shoes on and make sure you wear Levi's and you don't look like Mary Kay.
There you go. Because
you might get licked to death.
You're going to a horse arena. Don't wear white.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Yeah, we're not styling. We're loving animals.
That's right.
Well, I can't thank you guys enough for taking time out of your Sunday and came down. I hope you've enjoyed Dog Tales and More Radio. I've been bugging my wife to do this for more years than I care to admit. And then what does she do? She goes to a dog show. But I got a text. She just got another 5-point major. So it's all good. And another ribbon. I don't know what I'm going to do with all these ribbons.
And a rosette.
Yeah, right. Don't give her any ideas. All right. This is Dog Tales Radio and More right here on KCBQ AM 1170, The Answer.